RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of A Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. And this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. As ASEAN stumble, Indonesia must find a new fate to aid Rohingya refugees. Indonesia Foreign Minister affirmed Gambia ready to host Rohingya refugees stranded in Indonesia. The primary focus of the World Empowerment Day affirmed concerned with care. Now the news in detail. Human rights defenders from the Southeast Asian region and abroad have criticized ASEAN's recent efforts to contain the Rohingya refugees crisis, claiming the initiative do not fully address the persecution of minority groups within Myanmar. ASEAN must consider all its objections, as to say options, to convincing the Myanmar government to end the persecution of the Rohingya, including expelling or suspending it from the grouping if it fails to deliver, said Charles Santiago, chairperson of the ASEAN Parliamentarians for Human Rights, or APHR, and Malaysian Member of Parliament. APHR, according to its website, was founded in 2013 with the aim at protecting the human rights of the people of ASEAN and bringing offenders to justice. Santiago's statements follow ASEAN's special meeting on irregular migrants held in Bangkok last week. Representatives of the attending 10 member states that make up the Association of Southeast Asian Nations declared in the forum at the Thai capital that they were committed in intensifying search and rescue operations, strengthening information and intelligence sharing mechanisms, and protecting the safety of those lost at sea. The government of Gambia, a small West African country, nestled between Senegal and Guinea-Bissau, declared at the Organization of Islamic Conference, OIC, in May, that it was ready to host Rohingya and Bangladeshi boat people stranded in Indonesia and Malaysia. This was affirmed by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry. The OIC meeting, which took place during the Asian African Conference, also discussed support and aid needed for refugees, Minister Spokesperson Arman Tanasir said on Thursday. Gambia official told Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi at the forum that it was ready if refugees decided to settle down there. Armanata said this was so that other Islamic countries are ready and are interested in solving this humanitarian issue, even though it is happening far from their source. It is not clear why Indonesian Foreign Ministry only announced Gambia's pledge this week, but it comes at a time of heightened international concern about the flight of Myanmar's Rohingya. World Empowerment Day 2015 hoists a theme, 7 Billion Dreams, One Planet, Concerned with Care. This theme is hoped to be able to awaken the population of the world to appreciate environment and taking care of the earth by consuming wisely their daily needs. The individual decision can become the tremendous power if we join it. The statement quote of Secretary General Ban Ki-moon was delivered by the Regional Director and Representative of United Nations Empowerment Program, UNEP for Asia and Pacific, Kavit Sohedi, during the interview with Voice of Indonesia on Friday, June 5th, 2015.
That's right. Our own United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, I think put it very nicely. He said that although individual decisions may seem small in the face of global threats and trends, when billions of people join forces in common purpose we can make a tremendous difference. And I think that's the message we want to convey on this World Environment Day.
So the added focus for this year, World Environment Day, is consume with care.
I think really the focus is on the last part of today's slogan, consume with care. Are we consuming with care? What we estimate is that by 2050, if we carry on consuming and producing in the way we are doing today, and with the populations expected to go from 7 billion today to something like 9.5 billion, we will need three planets to sustain our way of living and consumption. So that clearly is not sustainable. And what we are trying to promote is living sustainably, in other words, doing more and better with less. And this, again, has a lot to do with our individual actions.
Options are the main things that humans have to do. Consuming with care might help to save the earth. The slumping crude prices has jolted the oil industry into deep cost cutting, which, unlike the previous downturn, could last for a few years at least. After overspending by the industry during the boom years, the collapse in prices in the second half of last year laid bare the need to reduce costs and introduce efficiencies. Oil producers globally have embarked on billions of dollars in saving in recent months, forcing oil service providers and contractors in tune to slash rate by as much as 50% in some cases. Partial rebound in crude prices this year will give service companies such as Baker Hughes, Schlumberger and Petrofed little respite. Unlike the previous collapse in 2009 when prices plunged 75%, only to rebound within months. Industry analysts forecast a very gradual recovery in prices this time, which means costs will need to fall a lot further still. Higher prices have led to cost inflation over the past years, and now need to reverse that trend, BP's chief executive officer Bud Dooley told the OPEC seminar in Vienna recently. This will be tough and will require some very new thinking. The legendary rock titans God Bless will hold a concert on August 7 at the Ciputra Art Arena in South Jakarta. Titled Musiki Kuren, Panggung Sandiwara God Bless, the concert is likely to be performed with an on-stage orchestra. The band has had orchestra songs, and in the past it was nearly impossible to have them performed at concert. This was stated by the band's venerable vocalist Ahmad Arbal in Jakarta on Tuesday. The last time the band has an ensemble was during the concert in 1973. The band, popularly for its hit songs Panggung Sandiwara, which means play stage, and Semut Hitam, which means blood ant, is marking its 42nd anniversary this year. The last item, Anthony Sinisuka Ginting may see his world ranking rise after cruising into the BCA Indonesia Open quarterfinals. The 18-year-old shooter created an upset after defeating 4th seed K. Sriakant 14-21, 22-20, 21-13 in a Thursday second round, making him the only qualifier left in the tournament. Anthony said that the game exceeded his expectation as his initial goal was to move into main round. Donisius Hayunt Rumbaka ended his Indonesian Open campaign after losing to reigning champion Jent O. Jorgensen 21-12, 14-21, 21-14. Tommy Sugiarto also ended his campaign with 16-21, 22-20, 21-19, loss to Mart Schwieber of Germany. The women's doubles competition saw Maria Febe Kusumastuti rise from the ashes, giving herself the chance to rejuvenate her career. Starting her journey in the Super Series Premier event from the qualifying stage, Maria moved into the quarterfinals with 21-17, 21-4 win over Yu Pyoyin of Hong Kong in Tuesday's second round. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled MERS is a new threat post Ebola. South Korean President Park Geun-hye and a number of health officials were strongly criticized in South Korea because they were regarded to slowly respond an epidemic of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome or MERS. However, in a meeting with some officials of South Korean health affairs, which took place on Wednesday, President
Park Geun-hye asked for maximum effort to address the spread of a virus and reduce anxiety among the public. Since Thursday, around 700 schools from lower level to higher education had been closed as some health officials tried to deal with public panic over MERS virus outbreak. The virus has infected 35 people and killed two infected people. Meanwhile, thousands of other people delayed their plans to travel. 2 weeks ago, a South Korean man with 68 years old was diagnosed to be infected with MERS virus after traveling to Saudi Arabia. Since then, more than 1,300 people who might be exposed directly or indirectly have to be quarantined. Even some of them were isolated in a special place. The public in Seoul began to worry about the number of public transport users who use masks on their trips. In addition, worries also hit a lot of citizens of South Korean neighboring countries such as China and Taiwan. They canceled their plans to visit tourism attraction in South Korea. According to South Korean tourism organization KTO, 7,000 tourists have canceled their excursion plan due to spread of MERS. The syndrome of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, was first reported infected someone in Saudi Arabia in 2012. The disease was caused by a virus that was allied to the one spread in China in 2003, namely SARS. The country was hit with the highest death toll from the disease of MERS. Since the outset, this virus was detected in 2012. More than 300 people died of MERS. Health officials of Saudi Arabia suspected that MERS was spread by camels imported from the region of Africa. A current citizen who was first diagnosed to be infected with MERS virus has traveled to Saudi Arabia recently. In West Africa, another epidemic outbreak is Ebola. Although the current level of its attack is no longer as strong in the middle of the last year, however, the threat to human is still possible. With the attack of MERS virus, it is necessary for Indonesian people to be watchful, particularly those who will travel and have traveled to Middle East region. For those who have returned from Middle East region, the government of Indonesia needs to prepare an inspection mechanism so that people who have infected with MERS virus can be detected sooner. Otherwise, a number of Umrah pilgrim candidates and prospective pilgrims this year need to be reminded of the dangers of this virus attack. This means that for the official of Indonesia Minister of Health, there must be a serious effort to secure the pilgrim candidate with health protection, such as vaccination or immunization. Therefore, they should not be too worried about MERS virus. Their attitude to be submissive to the Almighty should be maintained. Listener, that's commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from June 5, 1967, Six-Day War of Israel against Arab nations, especially Egypt. In 1967, confrontation between Israel against Arab nations occurred again, known as Six-Day War. The war was again occurred after the United Nations forces were withdrawn in 1967 due to the Egyptian pressure, and the Sinai Strait was then blockaded by Egypt as the time the Egyptian forces moved to occupy Sinai. Israel reacted toward the maneuver by combating Egypt. Although assisted by Jordan and Syria, the battle was won by Egypt. Moreover, Israel forces had successfully occupied Sinai Peninsula, West Bank, Gaza Strip, as well as Golan Highland. To end the war, the United Nations issued Resolution No. 242, which contained Israeli troops' withdrawal from their occupied territories. On June 5, 1972, the United Nations Conference about Environment begins. The United Nations Conference on Environment was started on June 5 to 16, 1972 in Stockholm. In the conference, it has been decided that June the 5th as the World Environment Day. The World Environment Day is commemorated annually on June the 5th to increase the world awareness toward the need to take a positive measure on the environment. The World Environment Day is an important instrument taken by the United Nations to encourage attention and political action in the globe. As the property of the whole nations, the commemoration brings opportunity for all people to be part of a global action in sounding the protection for the earth, the utilization of sustainable natural resources, as well as environmentally friendly lifestyle. Now we conclude with the historical event on June 5, 1968, the assassination of Robert Francis Bobby Kennedy, a United States senator and brother of assassinated President John Fitzgerald Jack Kennedy, took place shortly after midnight on June 5, 1968 in Los Angeles, California, during the campaign season for the United States presidential election in 1968. After winning the California and South Dakota primary elections for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, Kennedy was shot as he walked through the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel and died in the Good Samaritan Hospital 26 hours later. Sirhan Sirhan, a 24-year-old Palestinian or Jordanian immigrant, was convicted of Kennedy's murder and is serving a life sentence for the crime. Sirhan's lawyers have released statements claiming evidence that he was framed. The shooting was recorded on audio tape by a freelance newspaper reporter, and the aftermath was captured on film. Kennedy's body lay in repose at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York for 2 days before a funeral mass was held on June the 8th. Hubert Humphrey went on to win the Democratic nomination for the presidency, but ultimately lost the election to Richard Nixon. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we'll talk about ASEAN urge to pressure Myanmar. Listener, the president of the Asian Conference of Religions for Peace, or ACRP, Dean Samsudin, requested ASEAN to put pressure on Myanmar government concerning Rohingya crisis. In the opening of conference of ACRP Executive Committee on Wednesday in Bandung, June the 3rd stated, ASEAN should pressure Myanmar to admit the ethnic of Rohingya as their citizens. According to Dean Samsudin, Indonesia could be one of supporting countries to urge Myanmar in admitting Rohingya's ethnic. He explained the role of ARCP is to reconcile conflict between those two sides. He also said that Rohingya and Myanmar can be reunited by using religion approach. there will be religious figures of Muslim and Buddha from Myanmar in the conference, he revealed. They are expected to bridge the conflict and lead to the solution. Concerning to Indonesians who give help to the boat people, Din Samsudin said that it was an appreciated move. Even the government provides special island for them. He stated it could be used for a while, for example, while Indonesians lend Galang Island for Vietnamese. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who attended the same conference, also stated the world's pressure should be applied continuously to Myanmar government. Yusuf Kalla thinks that Myanmar still applying discriminative policies toward Rohingyas ethnic. According to him, the latest result of the international conference has urged Myanmar to finish Rohingya conflict, but still it needs time. Before that, AFP reported that President Barack Obama urged Myanmar to stop discriminating the little quarters in Rohingya if that country wants to be succeeded in democracy transfer from decades of military government. Meanwhile, Reuters reported Myanmar on Friday streamed the latest data of First National Census since the last 30 years by keeping aside the existence of minority groups of Rohingya Muslim in that country. Besides that, the latest census of Myanmar also did not count the composition of ethnic and religions from the citizens, which has total amount 51.5 million. 1.3 million of ethnic are estimated to stay in Myanmar. However, the newest census last week showed that Myanmar has set aside the minority groups of Muslims who mostly live in Rakhine region. Furthermore, Myanmar's government does not admit the Muslims in Rohingya as their citizens until now. President Joko Widodo asked some related ministries to handle thousands of Muslim citizens of Rohingya who assured well in Aceh. Until now, the refugee of Rohingya in Aceh has the total amount of 1,722 people, consisting of 1,239 of men, 244 women, and 238 children. Even though some countries do not want to accept, however, Jokowi asked to help the refugee because it is concerning humanity. The Muslim Rohingya landed in Aceh after failed to entering Malaysia. They were found on the ship in the waterworks of Aceh by some fishermen. Currently, the refugee of Rohingya are placed in special evacuation by the local government. While helping, the government keeps discussing the solution for them, especially because their existence is not admitted in their own country, Myanmar. He said the solution for Rohingya has been looked for in the scope of ASEAN countries because Myanmar is one of the members in ASEAN. Besides Indonesia, some ASEAN countries such as Malaysia and Thailand are also their destination to refuge. Meanwhile, member of Commission 1 of the House, Ahmad Muzani, hope that President Joko Widodo will provide special evacuation for Rohingya refugees so that they will not disturb the activities of the local government. Muzani stated that Rohingya refugees are banned to socialize with their citizens in Aceh by being moved to an empty island. For information, said Muzani, while the War of Vietnam Accord, former President Suharto accommodated Vietnam citizens who ran away by using boats. The former president took in the boatmen in Galang Island, Riau Archipelago, from 1979 to 1996. The total amount of refugees there reached the numbers of 250,000. Now, Galang Island has been a tourism place in Riau and become the witness of boat people from Vietnam at that time. That was Focus for today.
Well, listener, here are the headlines of several national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Friday, June 5. I'm Dalat Pane. Media Indonesia writes, food prices should be overcome soon. President Joko Widodo issued 7 presidential instructions to settle the food issue, while the fate of the presidential decree on price control is unclear. Indonesian Trade Minister Ahmad Gobel said the government has prepared measures to control the price according to the instructions of the president, including the import plan if necessary. He said in order to keep stock and food prices under control, the police are also ready to secure. Several groups urged the government to dampen volatility in food prices. Vice Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce of Local Empowerment, Nasir Mansur, urged the government to immediately issue a presidential decree to stem price increases. Kompas Daily also writes about the high price of basic necessities. The price of basic needs before the fasting month begins to rise, even if the stock to meet the needs of the community is still safe. Pretty drastic price increase is mainly felt in the horticultural products because the increase is double, which at the same time is entering the growing season. The price increase is felt in almost all traditional markets in Indonesia. Last week, Coordinating Minister for Economy, Sofian Jalil, said the government monitors the price hike and the availability of basic commodities during fasting month. While the chairman of the Association of Indonesia Food and Beverage, Andi S. Lukman, said the rise in prices of various staples food during fasting month mainly occurs in fresh products. Republika Daily writes FIFA scandal spread. Interpol puts 2 FIFA officials and 4 businessmen in the search list. A number of key figures in the case of alleged corruption and bribery scandal in the World Football Federation, FIFA, began to talk. They revealed indications that the crime occurred in FIFA is more massive than investigated by the United States and Switzerland's security forces. On Wednesday night, Interpol announced the search list on 6 alleged corruption and bribery in FIFA. The list is made up of 2 senior officials of FIFA, Jack Warner and Nicholas Leos, and 4 businessmen. Tempo newspaper writes Dahlan Iskan, who is allegedly involved in corruption, chose to be silent. Jakarta High Court examines the cases of Dahlan Iskan, who is allegedly involved in corruption in the construction of 21 substations in Java, Bali, and Nusa Tenggara in 2011 to 2013. Dahlan is investigated as director of the state electricity company when the project rolling. Dahlan is investigated because there are a number of witnesses' testimonies that lead to the PLN leadership when the contract to build substations in 2011 that cost the country $33 billion. In addition, Dahlan also called in alleged cases of corruption in the community development programs of state-owned enterprises ministry. In the 1.4 trillion rupees case, 200 billion rupees of which is allegedly perverted. Well, listener, that was the headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has decided to stop the transmigration program to Papua. President Jokowi asserted that the program will lead to social and economic dispute among the people of Papua. Nearly 3,000 people have been evacuated from their homes after Indonesia upgraded the threat posed by a volcano on Sumatra to the highest possible level. Authorities raised the alert status of Mount Sinabung, a highly active volcano on Indonesia's westernmost island, late on Tuesday after a sharp rise in activity. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala discussed the acceleration of electrification projects in Batang, Central Java, and Asahan, North Sumatra, with several cabinet ministers in Jakarta on Thursday.
The coordinating minister for the economies of Enjalil at the vice president's office said the vice president led the discussion on the acceleration of two projects. Director of International Security and Disarmament of Foreign Affairs Ministry Andi Rahmianto said that the government was preparing a memorandum of understanding which will be discussed with IOM, International Organization for Migration, and UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mirat Riakudu asked a number of countries not to interfere in the affairs of a state in the countries with separatist or insurgents problems. It is hoped that the country itself will resolve the problem in its own way. Since April 2015, there are more than 1,800 refugees from Bangladesh and Rohingya in the province of Aceh and Medan, North Sumatra. It was stated by the spokesperson of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armananta Christian Nasir. According to Nasir, some efforts have been made by the Indonesian government to overcome the refugees issue. The United States Embassy enjoyed its annual 4th of July celebration on Thursday, June 4th, 1 month early, in order to respect the upcoming Ramadan month, which will begin on June 17th and last for 1 month. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Madura, East Java province, so stay tuned. Gili means a small island in Lombok language. The island in Nusa Tenggara is indeed surrounded by hundreds of small islands. Some of them are very famous among local and foreign tourists, such as Gili Trawangan, Gili Meno, and Gili Air. Although there are many gilis in Lombok, but there is a gili that is located around Madura Island, East Java, whose beauty is no less than the other gili in Lombok. It is Gili Lebak. Formerly, this small island was known as Pulau Tikus or Red Island. However, because of its beauty that is not reflected in the meaning of its name, the island was renamed Gili Lebak. Gili Lebak is located around the Madura Island, precisely in the Talang Sab District, Sumenep Regency, Madura, East Java Province. Sumenep Island is the most eastern district in Madura Island, so that the travel time to get to this island is quite long. From Surabaya, the capital of East Java, you can go through Bungurasih Terminal. In this terminal, you can choose the bus which will go to Madura, and easily ends in Sumenep Terminal or Kali Anget Port. If you get off at Sumenep Terminal, then you should proceed to the Kali Anget Port by using taxis or public transportation. On your arrival at the Kali Anget Port, you can rent a motorboat that will take you to the Gili Lebak. Motorboat rental fee is around 400,000 to 500,000 rupiahs from Gili Lebak and Kali Anget Port, vice versa. The travel time is approximately 2 to 3 hours, depending on the wave conditions at the moment you cross the Madura Strait. Gili Lebak has white sand with clear sea water. With fine white sand, you can walk around. With fine white sand, you can walk along the banks of the beaches or even tinkering on the white sand. Calm waves make Gili Lebak the right place to swim. Snorkeling and diving are also favorite tourist activities on the island, given to its stunning underwater beauty. This small island has various diving spots. Unfortunately, you must bring your own snorkeling and diving equipment because there's no such equipment rental on the island. Gili Lebak's width is only about 5 hectares, and to go around the island, it only takes about 15 to 30 minutes by foot because there was no land transportation modes on the island. However, this activity becomes frequently done by the tourists during the visit, so they can enjoy the beauty of the natural landscape, in particular, the blend of the pure white sand with crystal clear blue sea of Gili Lebak. Gili Lebak has not had complete facilities. There, simply, there is no restaurant and place to stay. For camping, you can stay on the edge of the beach or stay in local homes. The right time to visit this island is around April to November, at which time the condition of the sea is calm, so During the sea journey, you are not disturbed by the high waves. You can swim, snorkeling, or diving safely. Well, it's now that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gili Lebak. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you the World Environment Day. World Environment Day is the greatest celebration of environment in all over the world. The peak event is commemorated on June 5th. Since it was commemorated in 1972, Environment Day has become a medium for the United Nations through the United Nations Environment Program to campaign the importance of environment. In 2015, the World Environment Day carries the theme 7 billion dreams, one planet, consume with care. In Indonesia, the Environment and Forestry Ministry officially launched the Indonesian Environment Week 2015 in a series of the World Environment Day. The World Environment Day commemoration aims to raise awareness of all people to be responsible in maintaining the earth and becoming the initiators of change, as well as the saviors of the earth and environment. The Indonesian Environment Week has entered its 19th year, and it will be held at Jakarta Convention Center Assembly Hall from June 18 to the 21st, 2015. According to plan, it will be opened by the Indonesian Vice President. With the rising population and economic growth, the Earth ecosystem is approaching critical point. By 2050, the world population is predicted to reach 9.6 billion people. If people on Earth still maintain consumption and production pattern like this, it needs three Earths to keep it going. In fact, until now, the Earth is the only planet where humans can live. Therefore, humans' consumption pattern for resources on the Earth needs changes. Various efforts to save the Earth should be done indeed. In Berau, East Kalimantan, Berau Regency Environment Agency holds a series of activities to commemorate the World Environment Day. To protect and manage environment, the involvement of people, private parties, and the government becomes an important aspect. The government should run pro-environment programs while private parties need to be aware of the sustainable use of natural resources. People are also expected to conduct environmentally friendly actions, like throwing away rubbish properly, plant trees, or use energy wisely. Simple things can be done to keep environment comfortable. Although people often do things which harm environment without they realize it, it all can still be changed. It is not too late to keep environment. Every consumption and production activity still counts the sustainability of natural resources and environmental impact, so that the Earth will still become a comfortable and healthy planet to be inhabited by humans. Hope we can give a comfortable environment heritage. Well, VOA listener, that ends today's miscellany on the World Environment Day. Happy World Environment Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian female dangdut singer, Hesti Ariatura. Well, listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Hesti Ariatura entitled Cinta Pertama. Enjoy the song. Listener, Hesti Ariatura was born in Bandung, West Java, May 18, 1994. She is famous for her song Klepek Klepek, composed by Papa Tibop. Hesti is engaged in music world because of her love for her parents. The fourth daughter of seven siblings feels grateful for cracking the recording label. Nagaswara becomes her main dream to reach her dream. Hesti began her career from one stage to another. Then, Awe Salina Band helped Hesti to try her luck in Nagaswara level. Hesti tried to sing some singles, like Klepek Klepek composed by Papa Tibop, and Aki Aki Ganjen composed by Endang Rais. Alright listener, now let's enjoy one song called Klepek Klepek by Hesti. Happy listening.
Dance while the record spins. Do you like something hard?
Entah ku klepek-klepek sama dia, sayang ku klepek-klepek sama dia. Oh cinta ku klepek-klepek sama dia, sayang ku klepek-klepek sama dia.
Bad boy.
Listener, next we have a new dangdut singer, Lestianti Yuri, or usually called as Lista Yuri, who was born in Jakarta, November 24, 1984. Lista is the daughter of the composer of the legendary song Widuri, Slamet Adriadi. Lista decided to go out of modeling world to realize her parents' dream. Thanks to her parents' guidance in 2015, along with Nagaswara label, Lista Yuri released a single, Nikah Siri. The music is pop dangdut. It sounds more natural because it doesn't really have cengkok or dangdut vocal style, and it doesn't have electric music element. Well, listener, to end the program, we present you two songs by Lista Yuri with Nikah Siri and Teman Teka. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in another dangdut edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.